My name is Alan Morse, and we're going to talk about a teaching dealing with the power of God. And we've done it before, Power of God Part 1. This is going to be Power of God Part 2. And this is going to be something that I'd like you need to open your scriptures up and go along with me. And we need to turn to your scriptures. Turn to your Bible, in your Bible, and get you some pencils and papers out. And just this is a learning experience, and it's really great. This is a great subject, the power of God. And this is part two. We've done part one not too long ago. We're going to do part two today. And so let's turn in your scriptures into the Bible. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18. I want everybody to find this in your scripture and read along with me. This is tremendously important. That's how you learn the Word of God, is just read it along with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18. It says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that are perish foolishness, but for us who are saved, it is the power of God." It is the power of God. Think about this. The preaching of the cross, that's the gospel. That's what the gospel is all about, that Jesus died on that cross. He died for us. He shed his blood. That's what we preach. That's the gospel. He died for us. He was buried and he rose again. To them that perish, those who do not believe it, they perish. It's foolishness. But unto us who are saved by believing the gospel, it is the power of God. You know, in Romans chapter 1:16, it says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God unto salvation for those that believe." The gospel is the power of God unto salvation for those that believe. Now let's look at go on down just a little bit further and look at verses 22. Same chapter, chapter 1, 22. It says, "For the Jew require a sign, and the Greek seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews as a stumbling block, and unto the Gentiles it's foolishness." Look at verse 24. It says, "But unto them that are called," that's what we are. We're called. When you accept the gospel, God has opened your mind so that you can understand. He's the one that allows you to understand the gospel. And he calls it, you're called. And as soon as you want, if you want to know what the Word of God is and you want to understand, God will open your mind so you can understand. Those that are called, both Jew and Greek, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Just look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, just a page over. And let's look at verses 4 and 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. And it says, "And my speech and my preaching were not enticing words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in wisdom of men, but in the power of God." There it is, the gospel again. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God unto salvation. That's what we're saved by. And this is the power we're talking about. It's not by wisdom of man, but it's of the power of God. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians. Turn to 2 Corinthians. Just go on over to the right. We're in 1 Corinthians. Go to 2 Corinthians. And let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And look at verses 9. Let's look at verse 9 and 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. It says, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. What is this power of Christ that's going to rest upon him? Well, I would tell you, it's the Holy Spirit. You see, he said, I will rest in my infirmities. It doesn't make any difference the problems he has. He has the power of God resting upon him. And that's the Holy Spirit. Let's look at this. Turn to Ephesians. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Galatians and then Ephesians chapter 1. And we'll see this Holy Spirit, what it's all about. Verses 12. It says, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth. What's the word of truth? The gospel. The gospel of what? The gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after you believed what? The gospel of your salvation, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's the Holy Spirit is sealed in you. That's what the power that God gives us when we believe the gospel. And you don't get it any other way. You don't get the filling of the Holy Spirit any other way until you believe the gospel. And Paul said that's his strength, and that's your strength, and that's my strength. When we believe the gospel, we have God living in us, pointing us, directing us closer and closer to him each and every day. He's never going to point you to sin. He's always going to point you to a closer walk with Jesus. How wonderful that is. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And let's look at verses 4 and 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verses 4. It says, for though he was crucified through weakness, yet he lived by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God towards you. And it says, verses 5 says, examine yourself whether you are in the faith. Prove to yourself. Know ye not yourself how Jesus Christ is in you, unless you are discredited. He's telling us to understand, that make sure that we truly are believers. And the way you know you're believers is that the fact that you're filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's the way that you know. That's the way that you know. Let me show you how important that is. Let's turn to Romans. Back to the left. Go back to Romans. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And let's look at verse 9. This is how you know that you're saved. This is how you know. It says here, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You see what he's saying? If you don't have the Spirit, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you're not saved. You're none of his. You see, in the world of Christianity, so-called Christianity, are not filled with the Holy Spirit. Why is it that the churches of the day will have 500 members on their rolls and only 75 show up in church? It don't make sense, does it? Because they're not filled with the Spirit. They're not saved. They don't even know they're not saved. What about the churches? We have the church, so-called church today, has just as high a divorce rate as the non-believers. Something's wrong there. Well, what's really wrong, these people really aren't believers. They don't believe the gospel. They were taught another gospel, total different gospel. And Paul told us that we're never supposed to teach another gospel. Turn to Galatians. Turn to the right. We go through Corinthians, and then 2 Corinthians, then Galatians. Galatians chapter 1, verses 8. It says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than which we have preached unto you, he said, let them be accursed. He didn't say it just once. He said it twice. As we said before, say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than which you have received, let him be accursed. Why? There's millions of so-called Christians out there that never were taught the gospel. And they're walking around thinking they're saved, but they're not. And a person who preaches anything other than the gospel, all they're doing is sending people directly to hell because they do not know the gospel. It's just, it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. Let's turn to Ephesians. Just go back to Ephesians. Just one chapter over to the right. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. And just look at verses 6 and 7 and 8. It says, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ. How? By the gospel, of which I was made a minister according to the gift of grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. What power is that? It's the power of the Holy Spirit working through him. It's the power of the gospel. And then look at what it says in verse 8. This is just a sidebar here. It says, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. What did he say? He was the least of all saints, less than the least of all saints. Now, just for the fun of it, turn over and see what God thinks about him. Just turn over to Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Turn back to Luke. Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. And let's look at verses 28. Luke chapter 7, verses 28. And it said, I say unto you, among those who are born of women, there is no greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Who was it just said he is the least of the least? Paul did. I believe that when we go to heaven and we see Paul, we're going to see the greatest person that ever walked on this earth. I'm talking about person. I'm not talking about Jesus. Jesus is the greatest. He's God. But of man, not deity, he's the greatest. There's no ifs and buts about it. He's what he went through to give us the gospel, the average man couldn't even comprehend. Let's go back to Ephesians again. That was just a side thing. Let's go back to Ephesians. 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, and then Ephesians again. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 3. And let's look at verses 20. Verses 20, it says, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. What is that power? We just saw that. That's the Holy Spirit that every person, believer, has. If you believe the gospel, the Holy Spirit moves into you. He's a part of you. He'll never leave you. And he'll direct you the way you should go. And all he asks you to do is follow his lead. And he'll do it all for you. He'll do it all for you. What a wonderful thing to know. And what a wonderful thing for God to do for us. Let's turn to Philippians. We're in Ephesians. Now we turn, just go, keep on going to the right, and we go to Philippians. And we're looking at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And let's look at verses 10. Philippians chapter 3, verses 10. It says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. This is quite a verse. And this is a verse that we're getting into the deeper things of God's Word. But in order to answer that, let's just turn over to Romans chapter 6. Turn to Romans chapter 6. Back to the left. back to Romans chapter 6. And let's look at verses 5 and 6, actually through 11. Romans chapter 6, we're starting at verses 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, and that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we shall not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from all sin. From sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him, for in that he died unto sin once, but in that he lived unto God. Now, number verse 11, likewise reckon ye also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. What he's telling us is that once you believe the gospel, and the gospel is that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and he rose again, the believer goes one step further than that. He looks at the at this cross, and he says, not only did Jesus die on that cross, God, he took our old sin nature, the old sin nature that we inherited from Adam, and we've had it all of our life. We take that old sin nature of ours, and we also, we reckon him on that cross also. And he's nailed to that cross, and he's dead. We reckon when Jesus was buried, we reckon that old sin nature dead. And so when Christ rises from the dead in his glorious new body, we also rise with him. And we leave that old sin nature right behind, and we become a new creation. And we're totally new, because we don't have that old dead sin nature following us around anymore. It's we reckon it dead. And we can say, let's turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And this is what we can say. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, and you are, as soon as you believe the gospel, not only you are in Christ, but Christ is in you. He is a new creation. Old things have passed away. What's passed away mean? Dead. When somebody passed away, what happened to him? He died. These old things that we reckon dead that passed away, they died on that cross and they were buried. Old things passed away, and behold, all things have become new. That's what we look forward to in our life. And we can do that by the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. This is just tremendous. What God has done for us. And he's given us this. This Holy Spirit isn't something that comes and goes. This is something that lives in you. And he walks with you. He talks with you. He guides you all day long. He's a part of your life, pointing you closer and closer to God. Let's look at Colossians. Let's turn to Colossians. Let's go Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and then Colossians chapter 1. And look at verses 10. These words are just tremendous. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in knowledge of God. How do we do that? How can we do that? That Holy Spirit is walking with us, helping us to walk in the way that God would want us to walk, and increasing in knowledge. He gives us the ability to read the Bible, understand the Bible, and follow its teachings. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering, with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father who hath made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us unto the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood. There's the gospel again. It's because of what he did on that cross we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sin. We can stand before God perfect. because what he did on that cross. We'll have no sin we'll bring with us to heaven. Nothing to condemn us. Not one thing to condemn us at all. Let's just, while we're said that, let's just look what it says in verse 22 of this same chapter. Colossians chapter 1, verses 22. We'll take it, start 21. And you that were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, through that death on that cross, to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. Can you comprehend such a thing? We're going to be unblameable, unreprovable, holy in his sight, because he has paid all the sin debts for us and just made us perfect. And it, but there's an if there, 23. If, continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature that is under heaven, and which I, Paul, am made a minister. The gospel is the reason why. We believe the gospel, and because of that, we can stand before God perfect. Hallelujah, what a wonderful thing that we think about. It's just wonderful. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians. We're in Colossians. Just go to the right again. You're there in 1 Thessalonians. Let's look like it says in verses 5, chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verses 5. Let's see what it says. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, in much assurance, as ye know what manner of man we were among you for your sake, and ye being followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy and with the Holy Spirit. This is the power of the gospel that's on us, and we're giving the Holy Spirit to walk with us. What a wonderful promise. Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians. This will show you really how important it is that we know the gospel. This is just tremendously important. Let's start in verse 8. Now, this is what happens when you don't believe the gospel. If you have any qualms of thinking about, no, I'm going to just believe in Jesus. That's what I'm going to do. Look what happens. In the flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. You see, that's how important the gospel is. I mean, you're going to be everlasting destruction and separated from the presence of God for eternity. Gospel is salvation. But when you turn your back on it, when you don't obey God, when Jesus tells us to believe the gospel for your salvation, you say, no, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do it the way the Jews did it. But that's not the gospel. He came on this earth, and he came and started this church, the body of Christ. He is the head of it, and he pointed for our salvation directly to the cross, and it's called the gospel. He said, you believe that Christ died for your sins, and you were buried, and he rose again, and that's salvation. And that's salvation. And you turn your back on that salvation, it's hell to pay. I'm sorry, that's a horrible thing to say, but it is. We just read it. You're totally separated from God in the flaming fire and taking vengeance on them who know not God and do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's just pretty final, isn't it? Let's look at 2 Timothy. Go to 2 Timothy. Just keep on going. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, or of me, his prisoner, but be partakers of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. The gospel is the power of God who has saved us. That's what saved us, the power of God. What is the power of God? To believe the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God unto salvation for those that believe, who have saved us and called us a holy calling, not according to our works, nothing that we did. It's all what he did, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. That's salvation. That's the gospel. Not what we've done. There's nothing we can do to get salvation except believe the gospel. Believe the gospel. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray that you open the minds of everybody that's listening to me today, that you truly can understand your word, and they will truly believe the gospel, that you died for their sins, and that you were buried, and that you rose from the dead, and they could be filled with the Holy Spirit. That is my prayer. Open up their minds, Lord. Let them understand. Let them hear your word and act upon it and believe the gospel for their salvation. That is my prayer, my most greatest wish in the whole world, that people could understand the gospel. And I pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.